Tara's going to get the report and stuff, but...
Oh, hang on, I got to get the, in front of me.
Are you ready with YouTube stuff?
Yep, we should be streaming, we're good to go, recording.
You're in charge.
You're in charge. Awesome, let's call this meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. Do we have anybody other than our board present tonight? Do we need to do introductions? No, we don't.
We have, no, Dan's community comment.
Oh, community comments, yeah, awesome. So, I think everybody received tonight's agenda. Are there any changes or questions?
No, looks fine.
Is that a motion to approve?
Sure, I move to approve it.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
I'll need hands, guys. I failed to ask for the vote last time on the agenda. All right, Ventura sent out the summary notes. If you had a chance to read through them, is there anybody who would like to, are there any changes, adjustments, or is there a motion to approve?
I did have just one slide, I apologize, I misspelled one of the citizens' names, but I changed it.
Okay.
In the draft. Mark and Janine Highfield. That was mine.
There was one under place, other place under 2B.
2B?
Yeah, where it didn't get changed.
Oh. Is there a motion to approve?
Sure, I'll move that.
All right.
Is it Mark and Janine?
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Awesome. Okay. So, let's go ahead and open with community comments. I think we have somebody in the lobby.
Yep. Dan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good.
All right. We are ready, or...
Welcome, Dan, to the Parks and Rec Advisory Board meeting.
Thank you.
And we're in our community comments section.
Okay, great.
What would you like to share with us?
Well, first of all, can I talk now, or do you just want me to give you what I'm going to do?
No, this is, we're in community comments, so go ahead and this, we'll start your session.
Perfect, okay, well, great. Well, thanks again for letting me address the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. Just as a follow-up to the last meeting, we have met with John Williams, and he is in the process of reviewing our four recommendations to decrease the overwhelming pickleball noise coming from Tanner Creek Park. When a group of us met on Friday, October 21st, he agreed something needed to be done to mitigate the noise problem coming from the pickleball courts. As of today, 3 weeks later, he's not gotten back to us with any specific plan of action. To summarize, we are asking for decreased court hours, an acoustic fence, stopping reservations of the court by the private pickleball club, and reduction of the number of courts from 4 to 2. We emphasize the importance of resolving this issue quickly. As our plan includes reducing the number of pickleball courts, we suggest planning for future pickleball sites. We are asking the Park and Rec Advisory Board to look at criteria for picking future pickleball sites, and then to identify sites within West Lynn that are potentially available. Lake Oswego is currently looking for future sites to replace the George Rogers pickleball courts, which have had similar noise issues. From my research on the national pickleball noise subject, it seems reasonable that pickleball courts not be located within 300 to 500 feet of homes. Court selection locations should include appropriate due diligence to address potential noise and obtain input from the surrounding communities, I would think, at a minimum. If a workable site for a new pickleball center can be found, it will make our current request easier to implement. A recent Lake Oswego task force has already made recommendations to the City Council about potential future sites for Lake Oswego. The Hazelia Dog Park in Lake Oswego is one of the finalists and is very close to West Lynn. we might at least reach out to them about what criteria they use and even consider the possibility of a regional pickleball site that would include Westland. Thank you again for your time and efforts with this chronic issue that is significantly impacting our community's quality of life. So that's it, short and
thank
sweet.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And hopefully we can get this all resolved.
Thank you so much. And I do want to let you know, in case you didn't see the notes from last month, after your community comments at the Parks Board meeting, we did, as a board, make a motion that was passed unanimously that reads, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board advised City Council to demonstrate urgency in taking actions to reduce noise from pickleball at Tanner Creek Park. This may include limited hours, reduced guidelines regarding the pickleball association reservations and sound barrier. And so I want you to know that we heard your message, and we further discussed it and are supporting taking, you know, demonstrating urgency with that.
Yes, I did hear that, and I appreciate that support.
Great. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us tonight?
No, at some point to maybe, I mean, it's a national issue. They're dealing it with also with it in Lake Oswego. I think if, as a community, we could be a little bit more proactive in terms of figuring out solutions, I think it's just going to be good for everybody. And it's a very popular game, so I think we need to figure out places where it can fit, but it will take some effort and planning.
Okay. Well, before you go, board, are there any questions or follow-up? And Tara, he had lots of points. Did you get everything? Anything anybody has? Any other comments? Okay, then thank
All
you
right.
for your time,
thank
Dan.
You.
We appreciate
thank you.
Your assistance. Yep. Okay, there are no other community comments?
Nope.
Okay. So it was suggested after our last meeting, if you look at the agenda, we're on number 3, follow-up and progress discussion. There are many things that we've talked about this year. We just wanted to follow up and see if there's any progress. I know some of the things we said, yes, this is good, people are happy. No change recommended, but there were some that we did recommend changes and just wanted to follow up. And some of these involve people or things that are outside the control of staff, but we were hoping that staff could just do a quick follow up on these for us.
Sure. So starting with disc golf, we have kind of after they came and we discussed, I think it was May with the Boy Scouts, Eric Waller, and you know, we've communicated with Lamech Christian Church, you know, as they own the property. We've reached back out to them. We're out of summer, you know, we're kind of past our peak time, and you know, Eric Waller wants to get back together. He played the course actually last week, and it still needs some trimming. And some TLC. So I haven't heard back from the church recently, you know, but we'll get that moving. Our staff, you know, as we've kind of started to slow down, we can now see where the wettest spots are and what needs to be done and get the things moving forward. Disc golf, we've also kind of internally talked a little, and we'll talk about this maybe, I guess it's a January thing, I think, but I think it's time to kind of take a look at our Parks and Rec master plan, and you know, one of those goals is kind of engage our parks with different activities. And internally, we've talked a little bit about maybe not, I don't know where we put a full course, but we've talked about just maybe getting a number of baskets and kind of setting them up in a park that's appropriate where people could just play 3 holes or something kind of in a triangle or practice. So that's something we could, you know, take a look at.
Like a putting green.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be, yes, you're right. Unless someone comes up with a great idea for a full course, which is also fine. Anybody else? I mean, go ahead. Anybody want to talk about disc golf? Give us ideas, thoughts, or anything?
I think there's one at AT Creek has one, or partial one, mm-hmm. and I don't know how well that is, but any kind of a partnership maybe with the school district or something along that line might be something to look into.
Okay.
The new AT Creek, the old AT Creek, or the old Riverside High School.
Is that what it's called, Riverside?
Yeah, the newly going to be Riverside High School. But
good. Okay.
There is a Riverside High School in the Portland metro area already, probably.
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can certainly check with them.
I think that's something that, you know, maybe there's a partnership and because it's underused.
There could be.
The only thing that I remember that I think was a big part of that plan was signage. Was here's a disc golf course, it's open to the public, please park in these areas, first hole, and maybe a plaque with the map.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The, you know, most of those have a little code that you can.
QR code.
Yeah,
That's a good.
Yeah. And I think some of that we can certainly do. I mean, you know, because it's not, we talked about having the kind of the website. We can set up a website very easy with some, you know, joint information. I don't think, and the church, you know, is okay with that. I think we get two logos and, you know, make it pretty simple. Now, this might not be a 1-year project to get it where everybody wants it to be. It might be a little more than that. But I think we'll work on those things. They were going to do the garbage. And as you remember, you know, we're going to partner on some different things. Mm-hmm. And like I say, it might not be perfect throwing platforms from day one, but at least get the trees out of the way, make it a little safer so that someone can go play and kind of know where they're going.
Yeah.
Would be our goal this year, I think, for next spring.
If I recall, it was the cleaning was kind of a mixed ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And the signs, were the parks department going to do that, or was the church going to do that?
I think we're going to work on signs, and I think our guys were going to do the tree trimming and cutting, and we were going to kind of put some red boxes out, and the Boy Scouts were going to help us by kind of moving all the debris out to the red boxes, kind of behind the course, if it seemed appropriate.
Okay.
Obviously coordinated with the church, you know, to make sure they're okay with what we're doing on their property.
Okay, great. So do we need to do anything to get the signs rolling?
No, I don't think so. I think we just need to administratively get together and kind of regroup after 4 or 5 months and kind of make sure what our plan is. But we'll hopefully this winter we'll get that all moving forward and get those put in.
Awesome. And for those of you who have been on the Parks Board, you know that next month we do kind of a review of what we've gotten done. So this is kind of like a preview. Maybe we can. Okay. Next was the dog off leash area at Mary S. Young. And that was one that I recall we got a lot of input and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is going pretty well. So.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. We haven't done much there. I mean, there's been the volunteers that have re-chipped the trail again that goes behind. I think we dropped off a bunch of gravel. I think they graveled it and chipped it.
They graveled and chipped it. Yeah. Short chips.
Oh, wow. You graveled it. Thank you for the correction.
A little bit of pile.
That's all right. The longer you have people walk on the gravel, the 3/4 mass, the more it packs down. Yeah. So that's good. That'll make the trail much better.
Yeah. Mm.
I think there's two things that we can talk about, maybe not tonight, but it's an ongoing conversation with kind of that informal group. We do get some phone calls from maybe people that aren't part of that group that don't necessarily agree with, you know, the at what times people are leaving plastic chairs out there. We've had some buckets out in the middle for water and just things that some people have said, this is not what we want it to look like, kind of. So, you know, we're trying to, without just going and taking those away, kind of communicate, because we kind of agree. We don't, you know, there are benches there. If you want more benches, let's put in a bench, but to leave Adirondack green and red chairs out in the middle of the field does not really have a great appearance. The otherwise, you know, some people are still concerned about there's no fence, you know, their dogs are gonna get run over, and you know, so I think that's just an ongoing conversation of what our community wants down there. We talked kind of about the split rail fence along the back, but, you know, I don't know that to date it's a huge issue either way. Mm-hmm. I think when they talk about their dogs getting run over in the parking lot, a lot of times those dogs aren't on those little 6-foot things, and that creates more problems, I think, than other things. But that's just one guy who drives through there all the time. So,
okay. Any news on Oppenlander?
Oppenlander, as far as current status is, I don't know that anything has drastically changed. It's headed through the court system to resolve difference in interpretation of a first purchase sale agreement.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know what else to say.
A bath tavern difference.
Don't know what else to say.
I mean, really.
I will let you know if
you hear
new information comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, this is just kind of like a
absolutely
touch base. Willamette Trail and Swim Area.
Yeah, so we are continuing to have discussions on the trail portion. As you know, there are a couple pieces of property that are in private ownership and owned by the mill, that kind of middle section, and then we get past that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all owned by PGE, the mill has a lease, but ongoing conversations with the mill to get that next portion of the trail moving forward, and we're hopeful we can do that. It's kind of the next path of least resistance, we think, because the area that's Volp Street, people walk that right now. Mm-hmm. So we think if we can start a trail a little farther down past 4th, mm-hmm. get that going, people are still going to walk Volp Street, mm-hmm. And they'll just connect to a trail, and hopefully someday we'll get that middle section done, and then obviously keep that phase two going down to the historic locks, historic city hall area. So that's ongoing conversations.
Any questions, folks?
No, 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 no. A lot of fingers and having negotiations for those pieces of property that get through. So.
A lot of moving parts or non-moving parts.
Been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any discussions going on for indoor recreation options?
We don't have currently any conversations going on. We know that people would like it. We know that it's needed. As you know, it's a complex topic. Number one, funding. Mm-hmm. Number two, every time that we do talk about indoor recreation, it evolves right to a pool. Mm-hmm. So that combination gets put together, which once again drives the dollars up even more. Mm-hmm. And with current financial things happening, we're just not there to talk about it. I mean, it just hasn't started.
Okay.
It has ideas.
I know, we're getting lots of ideas.
It got voted down pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I was going to say.
2-1.
The funding.
Are you talking about? Which one are you talking about?
One that actually we voted for.
Yeah, on the
swim center, the aquatic
center. Oh, the aquatic center. Yeah. Lots of. Okay. And we heard from Dan tonight on Tanner Creek Pickleball, mm-hmm. and it sounds like John, city manager, met with them looking at options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've emailed, and I talked to John today, and unfortunately, his schedule they just haven't been able to get back together and talk about some of the things that we talked about internally with as a staff.
All right.
And when is the acoustic fence going to go up at Tanner Creek? Do you have a date for that yet?
I don't have a date. No. It's right now. It's in storage. And our inclination is that we're going to need some time first to lay it out and kind of get it flat again, because the way it's laid, it's kind of done this little warp thing. But it can probably go up in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, is our feeling, but, you know. But I haven't,
by the end of the
month,
then? John
hasn't really met with me to talk about.
Right, so that
no,
was
not by the end of the month.
The neighbors were asking about, and we have it. So is that something that can be done by the end of the month?
No, couldn't be done by the end of the month.
So a couple weeks after that, or?
Well, I mean, it's possible, yes. The part of the conversation I think they're having is they don't even know if that's going to work. They want to, I mean, to be honest, I think they want a, I don't even know, they want a brick structure of a wall. So I'm not involved in those conversations right now, but John is working with Dan and that group to have those conversations. You know, so there hasn't been really decisions made on, you know, the items that they've listed. I think they're all doable to a certain extent, except for possibly the type of wall they want. And like I said, I haven't been involved in those, but there hasn't been a direction to get that done right this second. That's why we're just kind of getting it ready and laying it out so that it's flat and ready to go if it needs to go up.
So is the decision between the neighbors of Tanner Creek and Williams who will make the decision as to what happens next?
That's correct.
Okay, super.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
Nope.
Just, you know, keeping things alive, keeping the discussion going on these. Are there any other follow-up or progress discussions that aren't listed here? I think that I just went through our topics list and
right.
wrote them down.
Sure.
All
right.
Oh, no. Okay.
Not the phone.
So our next agenda item, number 4, is unique environmental habitats protection. And in the minutes, not the minutes, the agenda, I included an excerpt from the master plan. That speaks to this, and then we wanted to just Steph's going to talk a little bit about the comp plan and CDC and a discussion. And I know I just want to ask Todd, I know this is something that you're really passionate about. For this to be a meaningful discussion, what are you looking for?
Well, one, I was just kind of interested in the whole thing, and so just took a look back through the master plan and found it interesting. Just a couple things to point out to board members. When you look at the total park acreage across all of our parks, there's 550 yeah. and almost 260 of that is what they call passive oriented or natural resource areas, right? So a lot of what we have mm-hmm. out there is what we'll call, I'll call natural landscape, right? Maybe with some trails through and things like that. And so I think that's great. We have in the section, there's a number of different things, goals and protecting a system of natural areas, that's in here too. You know, so I think it's important to keep that in, just in consideration as we go through our business on a monthly basis, right? Mm-hmm. Parks and rec. And then we have this great handy dandy map that shows you where all these cool areas are. And one of the goals for envisioning the future for Westland Parks and Rec, goal number 3 was great parks and open spaces that showcase Westland's unique qualities. It says identify priority sites for natural resource restoration and stewardship. And I know a lot of that stewardship is going on, and we've got the SALT, we've got the volunteer work, pulling ivy and all that, which is all awesome stuff. And so I really appreciate everybody working that. And then it's when you look at the highlighted recommendations for existing sites, there weren't any for natural resources, which is fine, right? Because we only have so much time and money to go do different things. And so, you know, partly what I wanted to do in bringing this up was just kind of make sure it stays on our radar screen, and then if there was, if anybody was aware of sites that needed some help around preservation, you know, like I go through Wilderness Park, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, okay, there's some ivy and there's some, you know, blackberries, but all in all, it's not like the trilliums are just getting pounded here, right? Or they're any of that sort of stuff. And so I just thought I would throw it out, like, okay, do we all feel good about how the natural areas are looking, or are there any areas that we think might be worthy of extra care or looking at? I mean, do we have, you know, stuff encroaching into wetlands or any of that sort of stuff? And it's not, I don't have any specific example. It was more just to throw it out.
I think it's so difficult because we get more and more people, more pressure to use mm-hmm. access, use, and you know, we do have some fragile areas. So I'm really glad that you're passionate and are surfacing this. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Folks, anything you'd add?
Well, I can just walk through a little if you want.
Yeah.
So I think Vicky probably had the same goal from the master plan that I probably had, goal 3, that talked about, you know, all those areas.
Right, with the agenda, I made it easy for you guys.
Yeah, so on a protection side, you know, from policy, you know, there's a couple other things, right? The city has our comprehensive plan, right? And by Oregon statewide goals are achieved through local comprehensive planning. State law requires each city and county to adopt a comprehensive plan, and the zoning and land division ordinance is needed to put the plan into effect. So I have a document I'll send you, if, you know, you can kind of look through this, but you know, so there are Oregon statewide land use planning goals. And in our comp plan, you know, specifically we have like goal 5.2, which discusses natural resources. Goal 8 is parks and recreation. Goal 15 is Willamette River Greenway. And then kind of the next step down of that is our Westland Community Development Code. So Westland Community Code, there's a paragraph here, I won't need to read it to you, but you know, chapter 28 deals with the Willamette and the Tualatin River protection. Chapter 32 is water resource area protection. Chapter 56 is parks and natural area design review. So whenever we're going to construct something, you know, it goes through that. And then obviously, you know, as Todd read, you know, goal 3 in our master plan talks predominantly about natural spaces, open spaces, and it identifies those areas and you know, things that the habitats that we do have, you know, we have urban tree canopies that we work on all the time. You know, that's, we're replanting trees in our parks right now. You know, street tree programs are all part of that. Pollinators and pollinator areas and gardens. We've worked in those areas at Marius Young, up at Merrillhurst Heights. We have spring fed streams. We actually have oak woodlands. We have flowing water. We have rivers, actually. We have flowing waters and streams. We have lots of riparian areas. We have grasslands, you know, in some of our oak savannas, and we have wetlands. So we cover a broad spectrum of, you know, unique habitats that you know, and then you're right, we have the other half of our parks are developed parks. And some of this actually is where when you look at acreages, you know, wilderness is technically a park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's really
not wilderness. Yeah.
Really, really. I mean
you gotta be close.
Well, I mean, you know, so even acreages, Swift Shore is technically a park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we, you know, so, and all of those have different areas. And I will say that, you know, we do have a very strong volunteer group at this point. As you know, we have probably every month we have 10 different adopt-a-park groups in 10 different areas, not counting, which is not counting those random people we have in parks who will call and just say, hey, we put some stuff on the side of the road, can you pick it up? Or John and his crews that are working on both invasive species removal and trail building the 3 other days a week besides those adopt-a-park programs.
Yeah.
You know, we, you know, and then we have the McLean House that just has another new group. So, The difficulty with all these areas, you know, our staff, we don't have the staff that larger communities have with an urban forester position. We don't have naturalists on our staff. You know, we just went to the state conference in Bend, and I sit next to people, and it's like, oh, I'm one of four naturalists with the Bend Metro Parks and Rec, right? You know, so at North Clackamas, I mean, so the larger agencies have an ability to hire a little more, you know, science-based workers. Our staff does a great job, and we explore and make sure, and we reach outside Oregon Department of Forestry when we talk about fire, wildfire preservation, and wetlands. A lot of our comes from consultants that we hire that you know, are experts in those areas, you know. So, and then when you look at our budget, with all that acreage, we have an open space line item budget of $50,000. And about 40 of that most years goes to tree removals. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what we have to do, is because as you know, most of our open spaces are all bordered by homes. Mm-hmm. And we have to get rid of those hazardous trees. So you know, we do the best we can to preserve those areas, bring in experts when we can outside of our staff if we need them. But at this time, since we did get 2 new employees, finally, I mean, it was approved in our last budget, took us 18 months to kind of get them on staff, and now we're fully staffed. You know, we are starting to look at more, you know, even in our parks, trying to get back to doing a little more landscape maintenance and things. And some of the parks, you'll see that things have been cut back that haven't been cut back in about 2.5 years, just with the pandemic and wildfires and ice storms. We're trying to get caught back up into, you know, how we actually maintain parks. So, like I said, I'll send this out. It's just information.
Yeah.
We can certainly have more discussions next month or whenever you'd like about, if you know of areas, and we're certainly, you know, want to hear about them. So.
And I just want to make a note, you're fully staffed to the budgeted staff level, as opposed to fully staffed to be able to maintain the acreage and the types of things that you do. So.
Yes, that's correct. We're higher, yeah, you're right.
And the city does the island.
We do the island. We have a small boat, yes, and the island is complicated and used and abused during the summer. Very hard to collect garbage from the island. And
there's a lot of beer cans there.
It is a unique habitat.
It is a unique habitat.
Yeah. It's trash.
But
there's a lot of parties.
It's huge. Sometimes I wish we didn't own the island. We love the lagoon. The island is uh-huh. a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If it floated away, you'd be okay.
Yeah. No, it's just one of those hard things.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I really appreciate you pulling up the other documents and sending them out. And
yeah.
I really appreciated you bringing this up because
it was just awareness.
In preparation for the discussion, it's like, okay, I said you should read the master plan. So I went through the master plan to find the most relevant, mm-hmm. which I saw you quoted from tonight. So by bringing those things up, it forces us to really reflect, wait, are we really doing this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other comments?
Well, yeah, if you look at the picture that you have where a lot of those open spaces are, they're hard to access.
Mm-hmm.
They are. There are places mm-hmm. that, you know, if you wanted to do something, you know, you could look down there and see trees and stuff like that, but it's like the only people, people are involved in it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The deer have to jump over it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's where a lot of the deer come from.
There are a large number. There's a big bank, interstate property, tractor property, mm-hmm. and some of those. And then through the years, you know, as the city develops, an HOA or developer yeah. does not want a stream, you know, with water resource areas. Those have been donated to the city, you know, and you know, they're.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, complex habitats that are hard to get to, and
I was at a friend's house not too long ago, and we were out in the back. I'm like, man, you have a nice yard back here. And he goes, well, actually, my yard stops right there, and that's your city park. So I'm like, how do you even get to it? And he's like, well, nobody knows about it, but there's actually access along the fence line over there to let you down in. And okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but look at the Palomino Trail. because we looked at that years ago. But I mean, the bottom line is a lot of people have built all sorts of things on the city property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their driveways, their basketball hoops, their all sorts of things. And it's, but they're not in the way of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a trail that's hard to navigate no matter who you are.
Well, even if there's residents, I mean, some of those areas are riparian zones, and you know, and I've noticed that sometimes the residents, it's like, wow, that's probably not the best use of that area, given that it's a fragile environment. Remember weddings.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
No, good. Thank you.
But it's good to review that. Thank
it,
you.
It is. It's good to review and to, you know, cross the different plans, and also to recognize that our park staff does amazing work with amazingly few resources. Pretty amazing. Okay. Are there any items of interest from board members that we haven't already discussed tonight?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Then, and we, our city council liaison has recently been appointed a new position, so congratulations to Jewel.
Yes.
I'm sorry that you weren't here to hear that. So, any updates on the Recreation and Adult Community Center? I know the bazaar is coming up.
Yes. Soon, very soon. let's see, so since our last meeting, we had our Boo Pumpkin Path event at Marius.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
I heard it was fantastic. reports I got back from people who attended just said it was fantastic.
It was really great. We had about 1,500 people come through both nights.
Wow. So,
yeah.
They gave away 300 pumpkins and got about 200 community carved pumpkins back to go on the path.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
Yeah. Holy cow.
We have very good, community involvement.
Good job. So
that's what makes it fun, because it's about the pumpkins.
Really fun for the kids.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Yeah.
Really fun.
So it was great. We had some sponsors that were on site, and Ghostbusters. I mean, giving out slime. It was great. Yeah.
Good job.
Volunteers, it was great. Yeah. So it was, a very successful two-night event.
Would you do anything differently?
It was perfect, but maybe.
Well, maybe. That's in our review of the event meeting.
Okay.
Come on, Vicki, you can't ask that question.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon.
We'll just leave it with 1,500.
There was a lot.
Oh my God!
Great, because it was
fantastic.
It was figured like there was a lot of littles there and their families, and it was nice because it wasn't scary. You know, that's what we hear a lot about. It's like, it was great for the little kids because it wasn't scary. So yeah, they really appreciated that. And we got the trail back up and open, because that hasn't been open, that nature trail, since the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was it looks really good back there.
Wow.
Let's see. Yeah, we have the Holiday Bazaar coming up the weekend of the 19th, 20th, the 2-day event at Adult Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just gearing up for holiday events, tree lighting, holiday parade, sweater run, polar plunge, and then winter spring classes.
That's great. Yeah.
So also our adult community staff over there, Tiffany and Megan, have last month we started. So we have a caterer that does meals 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Friday, and they negotiated a deal where the caterer is going to use the kitchen on off hours when we don't use it. So we have a new revenue stream where they're renting our commercial kitchen.
Nice.
For the off hours, so it generates a little revenue for us. It creates an opportunity for a local caterer to have a place to run her business. And we looked at it as a win-win, so that's an exploratory thing out there for 6 months, and cool. So far it's worked great.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's
they
great.
Did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Are there any project updates that we haven't already covered?
I have a document that I would send out with you that has pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm.
This is awesome, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was great.
We'll go hot links, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to suggest that you put this stuff, some of the stuff in the minutes.
Oh, okay.
What's happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Which one mm-hmm. do you have last month? I didn't send this month, did I?
Yeah, I didn't see that one this month, did I?
Oh.
No, you have last month.
But it's, okay, yeah, I like the layout.
But
I love that.
Yeah. So just as far, just a little update, and I'll send this out because it has this month's pictures.
Yeah.
So our annual fall street tree planting that we do every year with new development on our residents that want street trees uh-huh. replaced. We've started, they're out there planting some of the new developments, you know, that happened a year ago, and now we plant from November through March. Where we're starting to replant trees in parks that were damaged or destroyed, and we took out a lot of trees. So I know they planted Tanner Creek this week, and they were trying to get to Skyline Ridge. I'm not sure if they made it yet.
Could be this Friday or potentially next Monday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Free Street Tree Program, we are in the middle of coordinating those 250 trees, geographically setting up for our contractors to plant kind of 5 zones and 50 at a zone, and then we have to go out and stake where they go and select from the 7 types of trees what fit best in each neighborhood. So that's quite an undertaking, but they're working hard on it. As you know, the Friends of the McLean House is going through the dissolution mm-hmm. process, dealing with the state with the transfer of assets. Their event tent came down earlier this month. We're starting to talk about a little bit about what are the possibilities for us, kind of a business plan, just to kind of brainstorm a little before we get heavy into it. Minnie Hooper's basketball started last Saturday, about 12 mm-hmm. hours with K through second grade teams, 26 teams.
Wow.
This week, Sunday through Tuesday, we took 6 of our recreation staff and 4 of our park maintenance staff to Oregon Recreation and Park Association annual conference, which was great. They, you know, attend sessions, we get to network with all people from all over the state, large organizations, small organizations, and sometimes be miserable because they have a lot more staff and things, but you learn what they're doing. It was great. We had 2 staff members, Matt Conrad, one of our park maintenance workers, is going in as president of the maintenance and construction section. So under our organization, there are about 7 different sections, and maintenance is one of them, along with seniors, outdoor, sports, admin, all those different sections. And Jennifer Borboa received an award it's an outstanding partner award from the MAC section. She's our park maintenance supervisor. And it's basically for your long-term commitment and partnership with MAC. So she's been on the board for a number of years. Actually, our department has had someone on the board, I think, for about the past 30 years.
Uh-huh.
So we like to be involved and interact with a lot of people. Tuesday night, we came back and we had a volunteer leadership dinner and recognition for Dave Cruz, mm-hmm. who started at Marist Young in 2006 to remove ivy. Dave and his wife are going to move in the near future to Bend. So our other lead volunteers, John and Don Kingsborough, and those guys wanted to make it special for them. So we got kind of all of our volunteer leaders of the Adopt a Park programs. We had about 48 people Tuesday night mm-hmm. that kind of got together, talked about volunteerism and different things, and couple people got and spoke about Dave, of course, as he was leaving, and all the appreciation we have mm-hmm. for him of building the. He was really kind of the first person that worked with Solve. Mm-hmm. He started in 2006, and in about 5 months, I think we had our first Solve event in the fall of 2006, if I remember correct. So, and from there, it's just, you know, grown into what it is today. Historic City Hall is moving forward. Robinwood Station might be done in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
That project, and I sent out some
some drafts for you of the non-motorized and parking at Willamette Park. These are early designs that I actually sent back. Have some notes from our engineers kind of working in the street portion and then the parking. So I hope all you got those. My goals, I think our goals for that project are twofold, right? We want to maximize parking, period, put parking everywhere we can, because it's an overflow all the time. And then as you look through those, KPFF kind of threw out some access to the water that we didn't really talk about. And as we looked at them and we met with Oregon State Marine Board, we really want to get everybody down to the water who wants to get there. And that means making it completely accessible, not just compliant with ADA, right? So we had those conversations. We met again late last week and, you know, we're going to try to come up with a concept that has a trail system kind of from both sides. And it'll maybe have a loop because the thing we deal with there is low water, normal, ordinary low water, then ordinary high water, which changes even during the best canoe and kayak months. So we kind of envision like an asphalt pad in the middle, you know, where people could kind of gather, but be able to each path might get you there. And you know, we could then from there, we talked about putting in a simple dock system that might have an ADA access point to the water. But I want to remind people, as I sat through an Oregon State Marine Board seminar like Monday, the average waterway project is 5 to 8 years. Is that crazy?
Oh my gosh.
And I took a picture of the slide
of
all the agencies, you know, and the most extreme ones are the coastal water, right? Because, I mean, because you have a river into the coast and we're not quite that bad, but it's amazing how many agencies we have to deal with. And I'm hopeful that we're not that complicated. So hopefully it won't be that long, but just so people understand, those are the hardest when you're in the water. And that's kind of all we did, I think.
This is huge. This is huge.
You've done a lot.
I'll send the park maintenance guys have done a great job this month. They're putting in concrete pads. They're putting in tables. They're putting in kiosks. Asphalt paths are getting repaired. You know, it's that time of year where we're kind of moving out of landscape, most of the landscape maintenance and you know, things that come with summer and they have use and kind of going into winter. So I'll get that mailed out also so you can just see that.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing all this. This is really awesome. Yeah. Any other questions? Do you know of any items of interest or feedback from City Council?
I don't.
Okay. I didn't. I like so. A note for our next meeting is December 15th. And we'll do a strategic review of our progress. There is a report that we fill out for the City Council.
I will send that out along with the other two documents, so you have that long before. So you can be. I'll send out last year's, and I'll send out this year's.
Awesome. Thank you.
Is it the second Wednesday?
So if you guys
Thursday the 8th of December.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 8th of December.
Okay.
Oh, are we moving it to the 15th or okay, just to make sure. Like, did I miss a meeting?
It's the 8th of December. You're right.
Okay.
It's a typo. Thank you.
Super.
8th of December. What's wrong on this?
Is it wrong on the agenda?
It's wrong on the agenda.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
It's my fault. That was my fault. I take ownership for that.
It is 8th.
And we'll do some initial discussions around 2023. Do we have any Parks Board members who
are leaving us?
Are leaving us at the end of the year?
Well, we do. We have Julie and John's terms are up. Whether they reapply or not, that's up to them.
Okay. Okay.
Now I don't think it's a rumor anymore, but I think the good thing is that council, before this council terms end December 31st, they are going to appoint new citizen advisory group members, right? Because sometimes, as you know, they get elected, and then mm-hmm. it can sometimes not, you know, as they get into office, they're new, they cover more important things, and then they don't appoint people until mid-January or sometimes February. So that's good for you if you want to get back on. Maybe there won't be a gap. And number two, for the rest of the board, you know, so that you'll have new members right at the mm-hmm. beginning of the year, and you can get a quorum and all those fun things.
Awesome. Oh, good to know. You, yeah. you did send that email out, and I was going to chat with you about that, but that doesn't have to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, any other items? We've done a good review, and boy, both of you, staff members, all of the staff members, not just the two of you, have a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm. And to be proud of, yeah. Amazing.
Okay. If there aren't any other comments, I'll go ahead and close tonight's meeting and look forward to seeing you on December 8th. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
I know.
Right. Oh, you know what? I kept looking at that clock.
That's right.
Yeah.